Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
G'day, Tim.
Doing any better? How's your second day in Twitter jail going?
I'm climbing back to health. It was a bit of a rough start.
You were pretty floored a few hours ago.
I've spent a lot of time like lying around wailing, and gnashing teeth.
Just generally moping.
I've been a bit of a whingy asshole. All right.
It's understandable.
You didn't have to say that. I'll say it for you.
It's intense. Not a lot of people know this. Like, they think of Caitlin as just some steel bones cage fighter type, but she's actually very sensitive.
Yeah.
She's a very sensitive person. So this is hard on you.
Yeah, but I do have like ways of like I worked out a long time ago that I couldn't steel myself against emotions, but I can let them kind of play out with intensity.
Yeah.
And sometimes with a little drama. But and I have other kind of healing. I'm a really good healer.
You're very, very healthy with it. You don't take it out on people or anything. You process it very brilliantly.
Well, thank you. But yes, I did struggle a bit to get the piece together this morning. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
It was more dictated from the couch, like Barbara Cartland style, wasn't it, than written by my own hands. But,
no sweat.
So we're struggling on, but, you know, but I got a poem and stuff. I don't know. And I did a picture. I did all right.
Yeah, you perked up the last couple hours.
I did okay.
Yeah, I was very impressed with how well.
Oh, thank you, there. Timothy. I'm trying.
You're really a really brilliant healer. So yeah, so for those of you who didn't listen to the last episode, Caitlin's been suspended from Twitter. There was some jerks were calling her a Nazi and saying she's paid by the alt-right. And Caitlin told him off, like, not even that strongly. She called him stupid and dumb and got a week Twitter suspension for it.
Yeah.
A week. Just for calling people stupid and dumb when they were being a lot worse than stupid and dumb, in my opinion. And, yeah, it's just, it got a little much for her to be constantly in the spotlight and scrutinized. Like, there are people just combing through every single thing you've ever written, everything you've ever published, every single publicly available bit of knowledge there is about you.
Which there is a lot, too. I've just, you know, I kept my Facebook profile. I've got the same one that I've had the whole time from 2007. And I kept most, like, that public until, like, 6 months ago or something. I've been pretty stupid about it. But I do have a lot. You know, you can tell who I am a lot online, which is good in some ways because people aren't finding anything, but in other ways it's really, like, distressing. Violating, yeah, to have people plucking things from... You just know that they must have been going through with a fine-tooth comb and, like, going through pictures of my kids and, like, you know, dumb videos of me singing and shit, like...
Yeah, it's really gross. And what's really infuriating about it is these are all people trying to prove there's something nefarious about you, that you're some sort of racist or Nazi or subversive Kremlin agent, depending on what their political ideology is. And they're finding an abundance of evidence to the contrary.
Yeah.
Like, there's so, so, so much evidence there that you're anything... But that
is weird, isn't it? That they must be just like
they're deliberately
going through. You know, remember my heart, my nature's heart phase when I was taking photos all the times of hearts that I found in nature. So they're going through all these things.
Yeah, they're ignoring all your advocacy for refugees and stuff. All the many, 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 many things you've said against racism, against all sorts of. Oppression.
So yeah, they're literally reading
all
that stuff.
They're deliberately ignoring that. They're deliberately ignoring the mountains of evidence which contradict the narrative they're trying to build in order to hopefully find, cherry pick something out of context to make it look somehow nefarious.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that they would have tired themselves out by now. It's been 9 months since they really turned up the heat. Like, they were already pretty awful to you. But 9 months ago, they all decided, yeah, we have to completely extinguish this Caitlin Johnston thing from the internet. We have to all collaborate to shut her down. And they failed spectacularly. Your audience has grown exponentially. You've published a book since then. You're in Consortium News on a regular basis, as well as many other outlets. But they still have not slowed down at all. They're starting up again because Katie Halper and Jimmy Dore said some nice stuff about you.
Right.
On their podcast. And now they're all freaking out. Fucking Ben Douchebag Dixon is leading the charge, as usual, as always.
Right.
Everybody, we need to
repudiate.
Beat up.
Repudiate!
We need to jump up and down on Katie and Jimmy and anyone else who says it's okay for Caitlin Johnston to be a thing. Because she said one thing we disagree with 9 months ago. We all need this. Jesus
What's really
Christ.
Disgusting is that they're trying to say, too, that they didn't do that. That I'm making it up, that they're trying to extinguish me.
While they're doing it!
Like, they're literally doing that right now.
They're mobbing. Yeah, you're not even, your account's suspended. You can't even defend yourself on Twitter.
Yeah, my account is suspended because of the lies that they've been telling for 9 months. So, yeah. Like, and while with their fucking mouth holes are saying, you know, she we don't want to extinguish her, while actually doing it.
Yeah, and they'll say things like, that Amir guy was a few months ago was brave enough to retweet you thanking him for attacking the argument and not the person.
Oh yeah.
And they raised hell. Oh my God, how dare you? How dare you? How dare anyone say that? We were not attacking the person. We were attacking the argument. No, you were attacking the person.
Oh, they've only ever attacked the person.
Anyone who retweets anything you say, any high-profile lefty, gets barraged by a whole mountain of them who are... It looks like they're actively trying to shove you to the right so that you'll do like some of the other fringe left pundits have been doing and go...
Go right. To the right. I can't, guys.
It's not who you are.
I'm not.
Yeah, and I mean, like,
it would be tempting if I could be anyone but me.
Right. And it's not, they haven't even shut you off from the left. The majority of your following is still.
I know. Well,
left.
That's the other thing. They think they're so fucking important. And really, they only talk to each other.
Yeah, it's just.
Someone
should
let them know there's
Twitter
like 300 click. Of them that they only ever talk to each other.
They're just really loud and it's really intense. And they have a lot of free time on their hands.
Yeah.
But the whole social media thing is pretty gross. Facebook is tanking, on a related note.
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting.
I don't know. Is it tanking? What's happening?
I don't know. It's weird.
It's so weird. They're not acting like a business.
Yeah.
Their views
are down 24%.
Right.
But
investors are like cutting ties and stuff,
including Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he's selling off assets and stuff.
Yeah, he's dumping Facebook stock, and he told everyone that this would take a dive, that views would take a dive, while also putting on 14,000 people, and there will be 20,000 by the end of the year.
Just add piling overhead on top of that.
Yeah,
massive losses.
To edit fake news. That's what they're there for. So,
And not because they lost a legal battle or anything.
No, they just decided of their own goodwill to put that huge amount of people on to make Facebook shittier and have people not less engaged.
What's a few billion dollars? Who does that?
It's weird.
Who does that?
That's not a business decision. Unless there must be other money coming to Zuckerberg.
Or some other thing. Some other kind of... There must be some sort of... I don't know. They're not acting like a corporation. Like when the government tells a coal mining company or a fishing company or a logging company or an oil company that they need to do something that will hurt their profits? Are they just like, oh yeah, okay, let me just do that. I'll take it even further. Here we go. What's a few billion dollars? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, look, I'm a nice guy. So let's just tank my business because I'm sick of it.
Who does that?
And Mark Zuckerberg does not do that.
No, that's not who he is. Yeah.
This... Mark Zuckerberg. I do not trust that guy. Like, so, you know, maybe people have been pointing out all his posts, you know, where he's with his family and he's saying, like, presidentially sort of sounding things.
He's saying, oh, yeah, now I believe in God. It's important. It's important to believe in God.
So maybe he really is going for a run. In 2020?
Why else would he do that? Come on. He's either trying to become president or he's trying to become chief oligarch. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Why'd you do that? I don't know.
These things are so fucking weird.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. I have no grand theory about that. I just think it's weird.
Okay, so we together wrote an article.
Yeah.
I helped out on this one.
You're
quite a bit.
Real
this
good helper.
I was. Who? What was that lady's typist's name?
Barbara Cartland. She. I think she had several of them. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I was whoever that is.
Yeah, I don't think they were nearest and dearest. Like, So it's called New Revelations About Pulse Nightclub Shooting Highlight Everything Sick About America. And so what were those new revelations about the Pulse Nightclub shooting? So remember, the Pulse Nightclub shooting was back in Orlando in 2016, Florida, Orlando, Florida. And a guy took a gun into an LGBT nightclub, gunned down a heap of people, and it was awful. So there was early stories of that, and in fact, continued stories of that was that this guy was a Muslim, and that he was gunning people down because it was a gay hate crime. And that story was played out over and over and over again, different angles of it. You know, they said that he had been to the club before a lot. They knew him, and they had people saying that, you know, he repressed his gay his gayness and stuff.
If to this day, if you talk to most Americans, they'll probably say something about it being a homophobic thing and about how Muslims don't like gay people.
Right. Well, if you had have told me until this came out, I would have said that as well. I feel just as duped as anyone else. Like,
yeah, no, I thought homophobia had something to do with it. That was just the party line, you know. Yeah, we weren't as saturated in the news anymore at the time. You weren't quite into the whole Caitlyn Johnston project yet.
Yeah,
at that point.
Yeah, not quite as much. And remember, Trump came out with the LGBT for Trump.
Right.
Rainbow flag at the same time and
that
stuff.
That was right before the election.
Right, and he really, I mean, he really turned that into a plus for his campaign, because he was saying, hey, well, you know, like, we will protect you guys and from these awful Muslims that want to come here and kill you all and stuff. So he, in one of those ways that he did that whole time, he turned that into something for himself. Anyway,
yeah, you know, I mean, he still lost the gay vote by a pretty wide margin, but he probably picked up quite a few points from that, just from them handing him that whole talking point.
Yeah, because until that point, everyone was saying, oh, he's, you know, he's homophobic. And not with any evidence, but that was just one of the many things that people were saying about him. And so he made a big song and dance out of it, and you know, it was hard to keep going with that line after.
Right? Yeah. I'll protect you while Crooked Hillary is letting the people with this hateful ideology
stream into the country unchecked.
Right.
Yes. So anyway, but it was all bullshit. The whole thing was bullshit. It was not a hate crime. There's an Intercept report that by Glenn Greenwald and Murtaza Hussain, which is really cool.
Yeah, y'all should definitely check that out. It's a really good Intercept article.
Yeah, and they go through the evidence because some of it has been unsealed. The wife of Omar Mateen, the wife of the gunman, is being prosecuted in quite unusual circumstances. Anyway, this usually doesn't happen, but they've decided to prosecute her for being an associate to the crime. So anyway, evidence has come to light that really he didn't know what sort of nightclub it was,
right.
And that he was. There's no evidence to suggest that he was looking for any sort of LGBT hit. He was looking just for soft targets, for tourist targets.
Right, yeah.
Disneyland, Disney World.
Yeah, and he did pick a really soft target. Like, the security was weak, and it was really, really packed. But that's, like, they were going through his Google searches, the thing said, and none of it, nowhere was he Googling gay nightclub or anything. It was just nightclub. Show me a nightclub.
Yeah, Orlando nightclub.
And then he went around looking for different targets, and their security was too tight, so he just picked that one.
Yeah, he went to a couple of other nightclubs before that were not gay nightclubs, and their security was much tighter.
So if he wasn't trying to kill gay people, what was he trying to do?
Well, funnily enough, he was trying to bring attention to America's foreign policy on drone strikes, particularly.
What?
Yes. He didn't like that. He doesn't like the fact that the US go around killing people in Yemen. Well, he actually mentioned on the phone calls. Now, this is the interesting thing, right? This is not information that was unknown to people.
Right. That was like day one news. What were his reasons?
His reasons were...
just everyone was paced away from it.
Yeah. He made Facebook posts because obviously, you know, when you go on one of these kind of rampages, I guess... And you do it for a reason. You want everyone to know the reason. So he was careful about putting it everywhere. He put it on his Facebook. He was yelling it the whole time that he was gunning people down. And on the phone when he was talking to the police, he was also telling it. And these are the things he was saying. Because you have to tell America to stop bombing Syria and Iraq. They are killing a lot of innocent people, Mateen said during a call to 911. What am I to do here when my people are getting killed over there? You need to stop the US airstrikes. They need to stop the US airstrikes, okay? This went down. A lot of innocent women and children are getting killed in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, okay?
So what you're saying is he hates America for its freedom.
No, I'm not, Timothy. I'm saying he hates America because it kills people. Its foreign policy kills people, particularly drones. Now, there's a little video that's in there by The Intercept that's in the article, and it talks about just how much blowback, how ineffective drone strikes are in terms of fighting terrorists, you know, like how when you, even if you take out the leader of a terrorist group with a drone strike, that just radicalizes the group. They just, you know, they get upset, grief-stricken, you make a martyr, and there you have, like, you know, just a lot more angry people who are willing to do a lot more.
Yeah, a whole community with this big... You had a flying robot soar in and drop death from above, explosives from the blue sky on this community. It's generally speaking the most traumatic thing that has ever happened to any of them, or as traumatic as anything.
Right.
You're gonna radicalize some people.
Definitely.
Who is doing this? Who is sending these flying death machines to kill us?
And especially because they're not. I mean, that they try to say that these things are like pinpoint accuracy and stuff. But the fact is they kill civilians all the time.
Yeah, like what you were talking about, that was the best case scenario, is if you just take out the leader.
Yes.
Or something, which like hardly ever happens.
Right. They kill civilians, they kill children. So, and they terrify children as well. You know, people living in communities in Pakistan, Yemen, all over the world now who are have children who are deadly afraid of a blue sky because drones hide in the blue sky, not in clouds. So
right, and you know, no one makes...
and you know, what do you say to your kids when they say, you know, when they want to talk about that? Who is sending that? The Americans. That's the word that comes out of their mouth. So, well, what do you think you're doing? You're just like seeding. Americans need to think about the sorts of ways that they are being perceived by other people.
Yeah, and also just no one makes a terrorist recruit like a war orphan. You know, so they make the perfect recruits.
Right. And it's very unclear as to what the American strategy is on these radical groups. You know, you have to wonder how radical they are. If they're like, at some point you just have to let people be over in their country hating on you if they feel like it. Like, you can't go and kill everyone who thinks bad thoughts about you. You know, if they're not really anywhere near causing you harm.
Yeah, well, how about we could just start by no longer arming and training and funding them?
Right. Yes, that would be really good. That would be really good.
Just stop creating them with airstrikes and stop arming and training and funding them, you fucking idiots.
Right. Osama bin Laden was created by the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole, yeah, and you know, the whole, everything we're seeing now with ISIS and Syria and all those radicalized factions, that was all sparked off by Bush's wars, probably deliberately. It seems like the way they're now taking these radicalized groups, which were able to spring up in the chaotic environment that the U.S. created, and the way they're able to use propaganda and bribes and psyops to get those radicalized factions doing their dirty work. I don't know. It looks really deliberate.
Yeah.
And also, you know, wherever they can send the terrorists, like you said, wherever they can send terrorists, they're able to justify U.S. troop presence.
Right.
Because of that authorization for use of military force.
Right. So you just put the people that you're going to fight where you want them, and then you go fight them.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's all this left hand punching the right hand stuff going on. And most of it just seems to be more for the disruption of it than anything else. Just so that countries can't get their feet underneath them and then... you know,
it looks like just a
their own resources.
Big destabilization campaign.
Which is just disgusting. Like, just stop that.
Pure evil.
Like, imagine what the world, the planet could do without this ongoing destabilizing destruction that's just, like, ruining lives all over the planet. It's creating refugees. And when those refugees flood into places... that destabilizes the areas that they come into. Like, that's just, you know, it's just not good. They want to be in their homes. Leave them in their homes and let them collaborate together and make a good life for each other. No one's getting at the America. Like, America doesn't have any enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's so gross about it is, you know, ever since, you know, the Soviet Union was barely an enemy. Like, we never declared war on it or anything, but the closest thing to an enemy was the Soviet Union, and that collapsed decades ago. And now all you have is these neocons manufacturing enemies to fight.
And manufacturing the weapons to fight them with.
Yeah.
Like, there's a giant business going on there that,
right,
that maybe they don't think they can afford to dismantle.
Yeah, well, like we've talked about before, there was a massive industry being built on winning the Cold War.
Right.
And so, they used to talk, Papa Bush talked about this. He talked about the, what was it? The peace surplus.
Right.
or something like that. How there would, once the Cold War was over, there would be, there would be this magical time of surplus. And they were talking about this after the Cold War ended. They were saying, yeah, now we got all this extra money that we can do great things with, social programs, help people out. And all they've done is just create more wars.
It's funny, isn't it? And I think enemies. Like one of the qualities of money, if you could call it that, or the intelligence of money, is that it doesn't really know how to solve a problem. Like, you know, you build up a war machine that's capable of creating amazing weapons and employing a lot of people and creating a lot of money. It doesn't want war to end, you know. It just, you know, the war is meant to be the means to an end. It's meant to solve problems. People forget that, but that's the idea of a war, is to solve a problem. But because money is involved, it needs to keep going. It needs to expand its business. It needs to...
It's so weird how it's the exact same as the healthcare industry.
Yeah, well, imagine if cancer was suddenly, there was a cure. The loss of money in the healthcare business, in the pharma, they would go broke very quickly.
Right. Or if people just started, if there were programs to help keep people healthy.
Yeah. or maybe that, you know, like we weren't subjected to like massive ongoing propaganda campaigns in the form of mainstream media and advertising, and we weren't so stressed that our bodies were allowed to be healthy, because we weren't constantly worried all the time about our own, you know, our own security.
Money is just not a good problem-solving tool.
It really isn't.
It's good at creating stuff. It's not good at eliminating things, as you always say.
Yeah. It can make more of things very effectively. Mm. If you want to, like, throw it at something that you need more of, then it does really well. But if you want to solve something, it doesn't really know how to do that. You know, and we see that with, like, charities, you know?
Right,
charities have become these big businesses that it's not in their interest to solve the problem that they started.
All the time now you're hearing about scandals about the latest charity that got wrapped up in bullshit.
Yeah, or just the fact that, you know, sometimes they only spend, you know, 2-10% of your donations on the actual problem. Right. You know, the rest goes into admin and advertising and
probably making someone
and
rich.
Selling. Yeah, yeah, and making people rich. Yeah. So anyway, I do see that as the huge problem that capitalism always brings, and so that's why I get very like icky when someone suggests capitalism as a method of solving these problems, because a lot of the times capitalism has given us these problems. It's not going to be solved by more capitalism.
Only really exacerbates them. Mm. Yeah. You want to read us a poem?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. So today... Suggestions from a very, very, very old friend. Be suspicious of anyone who keeps telling you who they are, because they're trying to control your story about them. Be doubly suspicious of anyone who keeps telling you who you are, because they're trying to control your story about you. Be good, but don't be well behaved. The two are mutually exclusive in this world. Hold your beliefs loosely, but not so loosely that they can be knocked from your hand by anyone with a loud voice and a sense of entitlement. Be open and engaging with people, but also be aware that sociopaths exist. Be skeptical, but not so skeptical that you can't climb into an idea and try it on as though it were true. Be funny. But, you know, don't use it as a defense mechanism. If you have to choose between being funny and feeling hurt, choose to feel. Whether you realize it or not, you are choosing between authenticity and inauthenticity in each instant. Become more conscious of these choices. Know that everyone is exactly as lost and clueless as you are. Some are just better at feigning confidence than others, and some few have grown comfortable in their cluelessness. Minds are great for writing code and inventing new tools and weapons, but they are worthless for answering life's biggest questions. The best way to meditate is to sit still and relinquish anything that thinks it knows how to meditate. The best way to find yourself is to non-conceptually examine the nature of that search. There is a common notion that a good romantic partner will keep you in check and keep you grounded. This is bullshit. A good romantic partner lifts you up and trusts you to fly. Life is naturally, breathtakingly beautiful. Appreciating that beauty is a skill you can develop. The more you learn to appreciate life's beauty, the more it will show off for you, like a street performer who suddenly realizes he has an audience. Ease and happiness are natural. Struggle and suffering are artificial. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. Your own true north, your true inner guidance, will always lead you away from old patterns. Clear seeing is the total absence of all manipulation. Be shamelessly beautiful. Be louder than the sociopaths. Trust yourself. Make art. Make love. Pay more attention to the clitoris. Have fun.
Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon or PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, and on CaitlinJohnston.com so you can get notifications and emails whenever she writes an article. You've been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. Maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love you, girlfriend.